Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, Perek Yudtes, Chapter 19, Rabbi Bini Marilis. So today we begin the last story in the Book of Shoftim, and the story will encompass the last three chapters, and it deals with the famous and most tragic story of Pilegesh Bagiva, the story of the concubine. And it's a most horrific story and a most tragic of events in the Jewish people, irrespective of when the story takes place in the course of history. It is a most unfortunate scenario when what happens to her happens to her, or happens to anyone. And certainly the ensuing disaster that is the 20th chapter and the 21st chapter with respect to the civil war that breaks out and the decrees that ensue between the tribes, one can understand why it would be presented here at the end of the book, even if in fact it took place 300 years before this point in the text, in the sense that, as we've seen before and as the chapter opens, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, that there's no king in Israel, there's no people in charge, there's no leader. And it testifies to the sorry state of the spiritual nature and nation of the Jewish people. And let us begin. In the chapter 19, we will get the story itself, the backup, the setup for the war that takes place in 20 and the other things that take place in 21. The events itself in 19 are most horrific and sad. And they begin as follows. If we haven't heard it enough, so Shmuel reminds us again. And so it was in those days, there was no king in Israel. Ve'ish Levi, a man of the tribe of Levi, as we saw in Pesach Micha, in the last story of man of Levi. Here again, we have a man of the tribe of Levi. Ve'ish Levi, gar b'yakaseh har Ephraim. You have a Levi who lives in the outer reaches of Ephraim. So you have a Levi who's living in Ephraim. V'yikach lo isha pilegesh mibeis lechem Yehuda. And he takes for himself a woman as a concubine from the tribe of Yehuda. Being a pilegesh means there's no kiddushin, there's no ksupa, but essentially she is consecrated to him in a certain manner, that they have a certain relationship. Unique relationship that ascribes only to the two of them. And since it's no official status that she has, nonetheless, she is uniquely suited and uniquely connected to this man, such that any behavior, interaction with other men can be viewed as some action of niuf and znus, which sort of ensues in the coming verse, but that even though their status is not sanctioned in a full halachic manner, still some nature and some rules apply to their relationship. Vatizna alav pilagsho. The woman deserts him, she goes astray. And then she leaves him. So it could be that she goes astray in the sense that she actually has a physical relationship with somebody else. And the concept of znus and the word batizna coming from the notion of znus. Or it could be simply that she leaves. The different commentaries offer different interpretations as to what exactly happens. There's a Gemara in Masechus Gittin, dealing with what exactly happens here, as to why she leaves. Either way, she leaves. Where does she go? She goes home. Batelech mi'ito el beis aviha el beis lechem Yehuda. Batehi sham yamim arba'a chadashim. And she's there for some 4 months. So a period of 4 months, he doesn't go after her. She doesn't go after him. There's no reconciliation. She leaves. But 4 months later, vayokam isha vayelech achareha, the man goes after her, ledaber aliba, to speak to her heart, to convince her, to cajole her, lahashiva, to return, that she should return home, she should come back with him to Yarkasei Har Ephraim, they should be together again. V'na'aro imo v'tzemet chamarim, and by way of mentioning, he travels with an attendant and some donkeys. But to the Ehu Beis Aviha, he arrives. They seem to have some sort of a conversation that's not discussed here, but they sort of reconcile. She brings him into her father's home. Vayir Ehu Aviha Na'ara V'yismach Likoso. And the girl's father sees him, and he's so happy to see him. He greets him, he welcomes him, hugs him, he kisses him. So happy to see him. And we'll see in the ensuing verses the joy that the father feels at the presence of this man, and the nature of the relationship that this man and his daughter have, and how hospitable and how open and how joyous their relationship is. Vayachazek bo chosno avi hana'ara. The father-in-law holds him up. He detains him with him for many days. Vayeshiv ito shloshes yamim, for 3 days. Vayochlu vayishtu vayalunu sham. They eat and they drink and they rest there. Meaning, the man arrives, he has this conversation with the woman. He convinces her to come back with him. But before they go, they stay for a few days and eat, drink, and be merry together in the household of her father in Beis Lechem. And it's on the 4th day. They rise very early. They get ready to go. The father of the girl says to his son-in-law, Sa'ad libcha pas lechem v'achar telechu. Eat with me. Have a meal with me. Sustain your heart, and then go. It's almost like kasha alai predaschem in a certain sense. You know, we have the notion in Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu not wanting the Jewish people to leave after Sukkos, unless he creates a Shmini Atzeres, an extra day that they should remain. It's difficult for him to have them leave. We saw similarly at the end of Yehoshua, there's a notion that when the 2.5 tribes leave to go back to the lands that Yehoshua is pained by their having to go, and desires that they remain. So here the person says to the man, stay another day. So, Bayeshu, Bayoklu Shnem Yachta Vishtu. So he sits, they sit together, they eat together, they drink together. Bayom Raviya Nara El Ha'ish, Ho'elna Vilin Vitavli Becha. He says to him, you know, maybe you should stay one more night, so you should be at ease and you should be calmed, and then you'll be fine. And v'ditavli becha, and your heart will be good. And go tomorrow. V'yakam ha'ish alechas v'yivtze v'chosno v'yashav v'yalin sham. But he, you know, he has to go, right? He feels like it's time to go. And in this verse, he's up. The man gets up to go. He pleads with him. Don't go. Stay. Oh, and he stays. So now it's now the 5th day. They rise again early in the morning. On the 5th day now to go. So they have already been for full days. Now the 5th day. And the man again is pressing him and prodding him to stay. Again, sustain yourself here again. And wait until the day turns, literally until the afternoon. And they eat. You can sense that there's a real connection here. There's a real relationship here. There's a real desire on the part of the father to connect with the daughter and the man, this man who has come for his daughter. And he doesn't want them to go. And he's very hospitable, and he's very warm, and very welcoming, and very open. And he wants to very much feel like there's a relationship, a connection here. And certainly that he doesn't seem like he's in any rush to go anywhere else. In verse 9, finally, they have to go. Vayakam ha'isha lechas hu pilakshov ben aro. The man gets up to go, he, the woman, and the attendant. And the father-in-law tries one more time. The sun is setting. It's getting dark. Linu na, rest here. And stay overnight. Chanos hayom linpo. V'yitav levavecha, levavecha. V'yishkamtem achal ledarkichem. V'yihalach delo halecha. He says, right, rest here, the day is coming to its end. Set up camp here. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for your heart. Again, the same idea. And then in the morning, fine. You can go. But now he's had enough. Too many days. Verse 10. V'lova ha'ishalun. He did not want to stay. He did not want to do that. V'yakam v'yelech v'yavo ad nochach yivus hi Yerushalayim. So he says, no, it's enough. And they go. Gets up and he goes. He gets and he reaches the outer stretches of Yivus, Yerushalayim. And again, Vimot Semen Chamarim Chavushim. And he's traveling with a pair of fully laden donkeys. Upilak Sho Imo. And the woman is with him. It doesn't mention the attendant, and perhaps the attendant at the moment is seeking out a location for where they're going to be, but the attendant does certainly make his presence known in the coming verse. Heim im Yivus, vayom rad me'od. They're with Yivus, meaning literally they're near Yerushalayim, and the day is really coming to its end, the sun is very low. Vayom ha'nar el adunav. The nar says to the master, lechon nav v'nasur el ha'ir ha'yivusi hazos. Let us go and spend the night in the city of Yivus, this Jebusite city, Vinalinba, and we'll rest there. V'yomer lav Adonav. It's an amazing turn of events. This verse is very, very telling and very, very interesting as it relates to what happens. A very interesting foil type of verse. V'yomer lav Adonav. The man says to the servant, Lo nasur el ir nachri. We will not go and turn in at a city that is a nachri city. Foreign city, a shalom ibnei Yisrael hina, that they're not of the Jewish people. Va'avanu ad givah, let us keep going till we get to the givah. Meaning, he has a standard by which he is establishing himself. If it's not simply just a danger factor, it's simply a moral factor. We don't stay in those quarters. We don't go and put ourselves in those places. That's not for us. That's not where we are. We don't behave in that manner. We don't mingle with those sorts, which will be an interesting sort of moral irony to the behavior that the man, the Levi, shows in the coming verses. Vayomer le'na'aro, he says to the attendant, Lecha v'nikruva be'achad ha'mekamos. So he says, let's go further to one of the places, one of the Jewish places, and we'll spend the night in Giva or in Ramah, which is further along. I mean, they would be traveling essentially after dark. They go and they continue along the road. The sun comes, the sun sets, in the area near Giva, which belongs to the tribe of Binyamin. Again, so what you had is a group here that they're coming from Beis Lechem Yehuda, so now they're traveling to Yarkesei Ephraim, to the outer, to the stretches of Ephraim. To get to Ephraim, they're traveling through Binyamin, which sits between Yehuda and Ephraim, and Yerushalayim is along the path that they're taking. Okay. Ve'asurusham lalun, lavo lalun ba'giva. So they turn there and they go and they're going to rest for the night at Giva. And they go and they sit literally in the streets of the city. And no one's inviting them home. Nobody asks them to come home with them to rest where they are. He doesn't proactively seek out a location to stay. It's not like perhaps he didn't know where the local hotels were. He's simply waiting for the good graces of somebody in the city, in the community, to come and ask. Perhaps he assumed that one of two things. One, by virtue of his him coming with product, that he's not a pauper, that would entice somebody to take them in. Or even two, just simply out of the goodness of their own heart, the notion of hachnasas orchim, where the person arrives in the city with no place to go, that somebody would be willing to take them home. But again, he's not proactive in seeking this out. He doesn't ask anybody, hey, you have any place for me, any hospitality? Perhaps it is also telling that these are not good people where he's located, and that perhaps he's in a precarious situation if they're not interested in housing him, although that may be reading into it too much at this point. It's certainly a possibility. But there's one elderly gentleman who's coming from the field, from his work, in the evening. The man himself is from Ephraim, but he lives in this area. And the people of the city, the local people, were from the tribe of Binyamin. So here you have a Levi who lives in Har Ephraim. You have a gentleman from Har Ephraim who happens to live in the Giva. And this is the man who's going to offer hospitality. The man sees the Levi in the streets of the city. He says to him, where are you headed and from where are you coming? He's the first person to ask him anything. It's a person, again, not from this location originally. And he's the first person to even at least have a conversation, to say hello, to introduce himself. And he responds in verse 18 as follows. Vayomer lav, over menachnu mibeis lechem Yehuda ad Yarkesei Har Ephraim. We are traveling on the road from Beis Lechem to Har Ephraim. And Misham Anochi, I am from there. Va'aleich ad Beis Lechem Yehuda. And I went to Beis Lechem Yehuda. Perhaps he explains exactly why, but doesn't say so in the text. Ve'ez Beis Adonai ani holech. And I'm heading to the Beis Hashem. That we didn't know before, that he was going to the Beis Hashem. We assumed he was going home. But he says he's going to the Beis Hashem, he's going to the Mishkan in Shiloh. And he says, "V'ein ish masef osi habaisa," and no one's taking me in. So he sort of answers the question, where are you coming from, where are you going, and essentially, what are you doing here? What's going on? No one, he's like astonished that nobody, no one offered to take him in. He goes a little bit further. V'gam tevin gam mispo yesh techamareinu. So we have straw and food for our animals. V'gam lech v'yayin yesh li v'lamasecha v'lanar im abodecha. Ein machasar kol davar. And we have wine and bread for the woman, for the attendant. We're not lacking anything. All we're lacking is a place to sleep. Everything else we have. In other words, if you're concerned, sir, about having to feed us and having to sustain us, you don't have to worry about that. All we need is simply a place to lay our heads for the evening before we continue on the path tomorrow in the morning. So the man says, Vayomer ha'ish hazakein, shalom lach. Shalom lach, peace unto you. Rakol ma'achas sochorcha alai. All of your sustenance and all of your provisions and all the food that you need, no, that's on me. I'll take care of that. Rak barachov al talan. Don't sleep in the streets. Don't sleep here. Don't lay your heads here in the streets. If nothing else was a foreshadowing of things to come, of perhaps the danger of being in the streets, maybe that statement is. So he's going to take care of him. What a good man. Hospitable. Right, a real machnis orchim, a real bal chesed. It's interesting. So we have now another person who's a real bal chesed in the chapter. We have the father, who really was hospitable and a machnis, for his son-in-law. And now we have this elderly gentleman who also seems to be overarchingly kind and friendly. Ve'yivieu lebeiso in verse 21, he brings him to his home. Yaval lachamarim, and he prepares food for the animals. Vayichatzu ragleihem, they wash their feet. Vayochlu vayishtu, and they sit and they eat. Right, so he provides a dinner for them. Heima meitivim eslibam. So this is all going on, all fine and good. Everything seems to be working just fine. The man has his pilegish back. He has a servant. He has his animals. He has a place to rest for the night, a roof over his head for the evening, and they're eating and they're drinking. Everything is wonderful. They don't realize that something is stirring outside. And in verse 22, the story turns. Heimim meitivim eslibam. They're enjoying each other's company. It's simcha in a sense. V'nei anshei ha'ir. The men of the city, Anche b'nei Belial, lawless, awful people, Nasabu es habayis, they surround the house. Misdapkim al adolas, they're banging on the door, Vayomru el ha'ish bal habayis hazakein lemur. They speak to the man of the house, the elderly gentleman, as follows. Hotse es ha'ish asher ba'al beisecha v'nei da'enu. Bring forth the man, bring out the person who has come to your house, that we should get to know him. V'nei da'enu, the Metzudas Tzion explains, v'nei da'enu is an Indian mishkav zachur. It is an Indian, an idea of a desire to have an illicit and an illegal relationship with the man, bordering essentially on homosexuality. And we should get to know him. If it sounds eerily reminiscent to the story of Sodom, then it should, and you should have that in mind and thinking as you're learning this chapter, that there is a very odd and eerie relationship between the manner of this story and the manner of Sodom. In the Torah, the Malbim goes into the differences between them, such that he then explains away the difference in perhaps the punishments that play out. But the behavior of the local people is reminiscent of Sodom. And the action of the man and the Levi, the Baal HaBayis, the elderly man and the Levi, is also initially very eerily reminiscent to Lot at the time. Vayetze aleihem, the man goes outside. Vayetze aleihem ha'ish bal habayis, the elderly man goes out to the people. Vayomer aleihem, he says to them as follows in verse 23. Al achai al tareyuna. Don't do this, he says. Do not be wicked. Do not behave in such a manner. brothers, don't behave this way. Acharei asher bo ha'ish hazeh al beisi, this man has come to my home, he's come to be in my home. Al tasu es hanivala hazos, don't do this horrible, disgusting, abominable, unspeakable thing to this man. What do you make of this conversation? Is he aware of such behaviors beforehand? Does he know that they've done this before in other locations? Perhaps not. Who are these people? These Bnei Vilial? Are they representative of everyone? Are they a short number of people? We'll find out later that it's not a large group of people in terms of total number as it relates to the rest of the people. That their behavior is somewhat unique to their situation. But these are lawless and awful people. And he's begging them not to do this. But begging them not to do it is not enough. So in verse 24, he makes an offer. Hine biti habisula. Here is my daughter, my virgin daughter, ufilag shehu, and this man's concubine, otsiana osam va'anu osam. I'll bring them to you. You can take them out and do to them what you desire, whatever you please. Vasulahem hatov ba'enichem. Do whatever is good in your eyes to them. V'la'ish hazeh lo sasu divar ha'nivela hazos. But to the man himself, to this man, do not do this abominable and disgusting thing. So the Zakein sort of weighed his options here, and perhaps he felt that the busha that would come to the man would far exceed the busha that comes to his daughter and the concubine. That's a tough moral stand to take. But that's the one he ascribes to. He's protecting his guest above and beyond anything else or anybody else, which is, again, reminiscent of Lot. The offer is also very reminiscent of Lot. And from a moral standpoint, it's very complicated to quite understand what he was offering. How he could possibly make such an offer? How is that okay to offer? That's a larger discussion. It also goes to ultimately to what Lot was offering at the time as well. How does one make such a shikul, weigh such an option and choose that option as a legitimate option? Verse 25. V'lo avu ha'anashim lishmo lo. The men had no interest in listening to him. The man grabbed his concubine. So the Ish HaLevi, the man who went to cajole and convince the woman to come back, he grabs hold of his bilegesh, vayotzi aleihem hachutz, and he takes her outside to them. He brings her outside to them. He gives her to them. Vayedu osa. And they, you know, quote unquote, get to know her, and they have an awful sexual relationship with this woman, and they destroy this woman in every physical possible way, short of killing her, until the morning. They're with her in every physical manner that could possibly be. Essentially what one would view as a gang rape situation, a mob mentality. This woman who has essentially no defenses, her only recourse and her only life vest was this man, and he has thrown her to the dogs, and now she's out there. And vayishalchuha ka'alos ha'shachar. As the morning comes, they send her away. They send her back. So now you have this destroyed woman and her master, her husband, quote-unquote, and the Bal HaBayis are off, you know, sleeping the night away, and she went through this awful, unspeakable night. V'tavo ha'isha lifnos haboker, and the woman arrives back before the morning. You can imagine the condition she must have been in. V'tipol pesach beis ha'ish asher adonai sham ad ha'or. And she falls at the entranceway where her master is until the morning. And she's lying out there. Picture the scene. She's lying outside. She falls at the entranceway. He's inside, sleeping. Isn't it amazing that he's able to sleep? He's able to rest at a time where he sent her out. And who knows what they were doing to her? And look at verse 27. Vayakam aduneha baboker. An amazing set of words. The man, her master, rises in the morning, meaning he slept. He slept the night before. Vayiftach dalsos habayis. Vayetzi lelechas sadarko. And he opens up the doorway of the house where he was spending the night with his animals resting and his attendant resting. He opens the doors to leave. He's going to leave her there. He's not even going to look for her. And behold, v'hinei ha'isha pilagsho nofelas pesach habayis. The woman is there, his concubine is there, falling at the feet of the house, at the opening to the house, at the doorway to where he is, v'yadeha al hasaf. And her hands are holding on to the threshold. Something is holding her up physically. She is somehow still alive. And watch the manner in which he speaks to her. Vayomer eleha, he says to her, Kumi v'nelecha, v'nelecha. Let's go. Time to go. Let's go. Seemingly not an emotional bone in his body. Let's go. Come on. Get up. We have to go. V'enoneh. There's no answer. She doesn't reply. She doesn't respond. How could she? Rashi says at this point she's already passed away. She's already dead. The others offer that the moment she's not dead, but that in the course of the next move and it travels back home to Yarkesei Ephraim, to the outer reaches of Ephraim, she passes and she dies. Either way, I mean, she is essentially dead. But he says to her, let's go, time to go. She doesn't move and she doesn't respond and she doesn't answer. So v'yikachea al hachamor, he takes her up, puts her on the donkey, and the man goes home. And now in an act that defies understanding in any way, that in the modern world, the world in which we live, would be a most unbelievable and awful and tragic and disastrous and horrible act that would probably gain no moral standing if it were done. The man does the following thing. He comes home. And he takes out a very large knife. And he takes hold of his now deceased concubine. And he slices her up. Limb by limb, he slices her up. Into 12 pieces. So he cuts up her body. He sends her out to all of the borders of the land of Israel. Essentially what he did was he took the woman's body, he split her up into 12, and he sent a piece to each and every tribe. In verse 30, V'haya kol haru'eh, anybody who saw this, the amalon hi asa, v'lon hi asa kazos, nothing, never had such a thing happened, or never had such a thing been seen. L'miyom alos p'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim ad yom hazeh. From the day that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim until this day. Simu lechem aleha utzu v'daberu. says, it sounds like he says to them that you must think about this, you must contemplate what has happened to this woman, the tragedy, the abomination, the unspeakable behavior, and talk about it. Think about it. Discuss it. Figure out who is wrong here, who has done wrong here. Everyone has to contemplate this thing. Everyone has to think about this thing. Really? You just sliced her up, sent her out, and now everyone else has to think about it. But it sounds like he's saying that everybody's guilty here. Everybody is responsible. Everyone has a part, literally, but everyone has a role in this woman's destruction, in the death of this woman. And we'll see how that plays out in chapter 20.